Tell me now, we'll start with Caelan, and Caelan started this motocross, I suppose we could call it. What age were you when you started? And tell us a wee bit about it, because not everybody out there is familiar with what exactly is going on.
Yeah, I was 9 years old, and my dad raced, and they had a bike shop and stuff, and then obviously the Donegal Club, we were running motocross races, and it was really flying at the time, and you know, it was really popular and stuff, and then I just kind of, I went and I started halfway through the season.
So you were 9 years of age.
Yeah.
You got on a motorbike. You were obviously on it before.
Yeah, I was kind of always, I've been on like quads and stuff, knocking around the house from I was two, but I never was really...
Who allowed you to do that now?
Oh, definitely my dad. My mum was never too keen on the whole idea, but she, you know, she went shopping, we went and rode motorbikes around the house and stuff, so it was... But no, I think kind of one of the things that always stood to me, when even though I started nine, which believe it or not is quite late for racing, especially for the level we're at now, but I think one of the things that's kind of stood to me now as I'm still doing it at a good level is because I was never, like, it was never a plan for my family, like, he's going to race, you know, it's never the thing, it was, I always wanted to do it, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, I was pushed into doing it, you know, it wasn't like, you know, here with all these, like, trophy kids and stuff, that it's what the family wanted them to do, and it's kind of, I'm lucky enough that it wasn't the case for me, and probably now it's kind of the case where I'm dragging the family to the races, you know, and it's, that's probably what always did to me was I was never pushed into racing, it was something I wanted to do, and I got full support to do it, and that's...
And were you fairly good at 9 years of age?
Short answer was probably, the first race I remember I was going, I was like, oh, definitely going to win, like, you know, and then my claim is, I didn't finish last, but I finished second last. And that was, but I kind of gathered momentum fairly quick. And then my motocross career was probably, at the end, it was probably blighted a wee bit with injuries. And that was maybe why I didn't have the success of maybe Reese, you know, who had a great career. I maybe spent more time injured and stuff. And it's just kind of, was one of them.
What type of injuries are we talking about? And were they received while racing or training?
Oh, yeah, it was all kind of racing or practicing. I done the normal broken wrists, broken legs, all that kind of stuff. And then when I was 12, I ruptured my spleen and I burst my kidney. And I think I was in Letterkenny.
It's no wonder the mother's a little bit worried about it.
I was in Letterkenny General for, I think it was 4 weeks. And it was obviously at a very hard time for everyone because my granddad was quite ill at the time. So it definitely wasn't a good time of my life, if you want, you know, but or everyone's life, you know. But and then in 2013, that's a kind of took a wee bit of a break from racing because of my injuries and stuff, you know, and then had a big change in 2014, and then since 2014 it's kind of, it's just taken off and it's gone. I could never have imagined to be sitting here or to be doing any stuff I'm doing now, and like talking like to the people I'm talking to in the sport, you know, and it's kind of, it's just, it's mental, you know.
So you're involved at the top level now, really, in your sport.
Yeah, you could say that, and it doesn't really feel right saying it, you know, and it's definitely, obviously, Reese's level is a wee bit higher for his age, you know, but it's, I just can't believe it's gone from us, considering I had kind of thought I was done, you know, through injuries and stuff at 2013, so just to really, like, turn everything around, you know, and just taken off over the last 2 years especially, it's gone really good for me, you know.
So tell us exactly what you're involved in. What level are you at?
Well, I've been doing the Thunder Sport Championship in England the last few years, and I've been winning races and stuff like that, and I've had probably 2015 was my first year there, and it was tough, but we still had 5 podiums over the year, and there's like obviously some really fast kids have been doing it for a lot longer than I was doing at the time, and I think I kind of really put myself on the radar then because no one expected it. I was, maybe people thought I was there and maybe didn't have enough experience to be there and stuff, but I'd done a really good job. I think now looking back, it's something I underestimated at the time. And then in 2016...
Well, that's now British Championship, yeah?
Yeah.
Are there people from other countries?
Yeah, there was.
Around the world are we talking about?
Well, there's a lot of people would come there to race. There was Italian and stuff in it, you know, but it was mainly just English kids, and I think I was the only Irish one in it. But, you know, I'm not honestly sure.
And you were at that level, able to compete and get podium positions?
Yeah, that was... I had 5 podiums over the year, and That was a great year for me. It was definitely a breakthrough year because I'd won Irish Championships and stuff the year before, racing at home, but the step from Ireland to England, much like soccer, whatever you want to do, basketball, it's a big step, a massive step. In 2016, I stayed in that championship again, And I won two races and had 15 podiums. And it was, I think I won a lot of the year. And I was like, I was on the podium in every single race. You know, maybe I only won. And the difference between being on the podium in England and winning a race, it's absolutely massive. Like, you know, and the time isn't a lot. Like, I think there was times this year where the top 17 recovered by 1.3 seconds or something. But it's, that's so much, you know, at the level, you know, it's crazy.
How do you push yourself for that last little bit to get over the line first?
I don't know. I think probably one of the reasons, things that's always helped me, like, even though I've jumped classes again in 2017, was that I work really hard at it, you know, and everyone does. And obviously I have full support of my mum and dad and stuff and my sponsors.
When you say you work hard at it, what exactly do you do? Is this fitness as well as riding the bike,
yeah, well,
techniques, so on?
It's a lot of fitness work, and people probably have said to me, oh, you don't need to be fit to ride a motorbike, but I think if you drove down the road 20 mile an hour quicker than you normally go, you'd be grabbing onto the steering wheel and your heart would be flying. We do that basically for half an hour, and that's the physical drain it has on you. And then a lot of stuff as well is it's just kind of like just absolutely anything, like, because the time is so close, you have to do everything better than everyone else, you know. So like, you have to go to bed earlier than everyone, and it starts simple things like that, you know. Like, we watch, like, I would watch a lot of the races back from the year before there and see, like, who done what and this and that. And it's, like, it's just wee things like that that make a massive difference when it's so close. And it's, it's just, you need to really believe in yourself. And that's why probably confidence was, when it's low, it maybe doesn't go people's way. And that's why I do a lot of work on that side and stuff now too. So that's what we're trying to...
Bit of psychology involved?
Yeah, just a wee bit, you know, because kind of, you know, 10 years ago, like, motorbike races weren't doing any training. And now to be in the top 15, like, in like the top level of like Grand Prix and stuff, like, they're professional cyclists more or less. And that's how sport evolves, you know. And that's, so I'm just, you have to try and stay one step ahead of everyone all the time.
Did you say you moved into a new racket now under 17?
Yeah, no, well, last year, 2017, yeah. I moved up to the 600 class at Thundersport, an Elite 600.
That's, and 600cc.
Yeah, and it's
powerful,
probably
a machine.
Yeah, it's like 130 horsepower and it's only 140 kilos, so the power to it, it's a bit mental, you know. And
it could fly.
Yeah, it basically was double the horsepower and stuff that I was on the year before, and I came out of, say, youth racing into adult racing, so I was racing people that, you know, it's full men and stuff, you know. And I won two races there straight away, kind of when I didn't expect to, and that wasn't probably something I expected to do, and it's kind of, as a result of it now, I have kind of a few different options for next year that we're just weighing up and trying to decide what's the best for me.
Is this now people giving you offers to ride bikes on their behalf, or is this you deciding what you want to do yourself?
Yeah, well, in 2015 and 16 I rode for a team that was racing in England, and then for 2017 basically I kind of had a bit of a struggle in 2016 at the end of the year, kind of confidence wise, and had a bit of a, like, things just didn't go as how I planned in the team and stuff. And in 2017, James Gallagher from Oasis Bar and Wesley Regan from Clean Rubber kind of put a deal together for us to go and do our own thing. And for me, that's what really made a big difference last year. And I finished fifth in the British Championship in 2016. And then in 2017, then I made a massive step up in class. I finished seventh in the 600 class, but it's so much tougher. And the big step change for me was kind of the different, like, I had all new people around me, so I had new continuity, but it was more kind of people that I knew and that I got on really well with. And that's why in 2018, I have different options to go back and ride for different teams in England. But I'm just trying to, I want to be with a team that wants to win as bad as I want to win. Because sometimes, that, you know, it's like football managers, you know, the first thing, it's manager that gets the bad stick. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of teams out there, but maybe not all of them want to win as bad as riders do, you know.
We'll come back to that topic and see, you know, the various options that are there. We'll get Rhys to tell his story. What age were you when you started?
Well, when I first started motocross, because Keelan had already been racing for the half a season, the year and a half he did, I was too young to start, because you're not allowed to start until year six. So I was sort of spent the year like on the sidelines, biting my lip and everyone trying to get
to get going. You were on the bike at home whenever you were doing a bit of training.
Oh, I'd never off the bike. But now I ended up turning six on the Thursday and did my first race on the Sunday down in Gorton of Erin in Ballyar,
uh-huh,
in motocross track. So I started out racing in the local Donegal Championship, as Keelan said, and then over through the years I just started to win and do good. So then the whole family side, we'd try and do like some Irish racing, and we went away and I competed like at a high level straight away from when I was only 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. And I ended up finishing third in the Irish Championship when I was 8 years old on a 50cc motocross bike.
And what age were the people that you were competing against?
We were all sort of 7, 8 that year.
Oh, okay, right.
And then after that there, I sort of got on to 65, and then straight away I gelled at it, because that's really a big enough step. I know even the bikes are quite small, but you're going from like no gears to like a full gear and having to do everything. Mm-hmm. So I really like enjoyed getting onto that there, because I went sort of straight to the front of that class straight away. Right. And that was the first sort of year that I'd sort of half got noticed by guys, because there's a guy, Philip McCullough, who like was 9 times Irish and British champion in motocross. Mm-hmm. And he sort of like seen me then, and then invited me to go train at his track and everything, and he sort of supported me that few years.
Right. Where's he based?
He's based in McGilligan.
Okay.
Up in near Derry. Mm-hmm. And then the following season then was sort of the main motocross season, because Husqvarna, who is the main manufacturer now in motocross, was the first year they had went and actually made a motocross bike for like a younger age group. Mm-hmm. And they wanted a sponsored rider in Ireland, so I ended up getting that there. So I had like a full free sponsored ride from the Philip McCullough and the Husqvarna. Mm-hmm. So it was the first sort of main season that I had really got a real good support package. So that season we ended up competing in 5 championships and I won 4 of them. But I sadly...
Here in Ireland.
Uh-huh. Right. So I sadly missed out on the 5th championship because I broke my wrist at the start of the year. Oof. And missed the first round. But I think it could have been a good season if we didn't have that.
That wasn't a bad season anyway. And 4 out of 5 ain't bad. So where did it go to the end? People still noticing you, I presume?
Yeah, well, after that season, the sort of plan was after... Well, because I had the Husqvarna deal, was to go and do like British motocross and maybe try to do a few rounds of the FIM World Motocross Championship. But that season, because my brother had then made the jump to short circuit racing, so I was going motocross with Mammy. Mm-hmm. And Keelan was going road racing with Dad.
Right.
So with that season, there was the guy that ran the team that sort of spotted Keelan. He was sort of seeing me, came and watched me at a motocross event, like, and he says, oh, he'd be good. So he said, right, you can come to England and the UK and race in British Super Teens Championship with me. Mm-hmm. So then both of us went away with him and never looked back, really.
So you're going up and up and up. Where are you? What stage are you at this point in time?
Well, this season I had raced in the British 450 Championship, and last season I had raced in the British Super Teens Championship. And that was my second season in that, and I became the first Irish rider ever to win a British Super Teen race. And I lost
first
the championship.
Irish rider ever.
And I ended up finishing second in the championship by a point. And the whole sort of season went really, really well. I'd won a few races and I'd sort of had a really good season, but I lost the championship by a point due to the bike breaking down on the last day.
Yeah.
And I was still good. Now, this season, I got selected to go. They took for the British Talent Cup, and they took all the British riders to a selection event in Silverstone. Mm-hmm. The weekend of the British Grand Prix, and we all went through a selection event, and they picked the best 22 out of the 300 and whatever riders that were all applied and contact, and I was happy enough to be one of the 22.
You're one of the 22 that are going to compete now in this Talent Cup. Okay, so that's with a view to going where then?
Well, that there, to sort of sum it up, is like the Manchester United junior squad. Mm-hmm. And the idea that there is we go and we compete all over the world against each other and do different rounds at Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And whoever comes out the top of it will go into Grand Prix then and world level racing. So really it does just open the door massively. Mm-hmm. To get into MotoGP. Like next season I'll be the only Irish flag in MotoGP racing.
And will you be supplied with a bike and all supports, or do you have to do all that yourself?
Well, for that there, it'll just be show up off the plane and your bike and everything's ready there for you.
So it'll be all equal, the bikes?
Yeah, everything will be equal, everything will be the same, but just back to talent, yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So are you confident that you can take on the best in the world as such?
Well, I don't know really. I'd like to sort of think, yeah, well, because we all went selection event and I was one of the fastest there on the day.
Right.
And I hadn't really expected to be, and I don't know, because a lot of them riders that have sort of already been racing in Spain, they've already rode the bikes we'll be racing.
Okay.
It's hard to say, oh, I'm just going to go in and smoke everyone. Mm-hmm. But I will obviously try my best, and I think it'd be try important to try and get as much support as we can, because my family and everything do put into racing, so hopefully now that we can try and get a few good results and do good.
Do good is right. Louise, you're sitting there not saying that much. Well, you didn't say anything yet, but how do you support these? Or, you know, are you quite happy that they're doing what they're doing at this stage?
Oh, well, Miles, you know, for me, it's mixed emotions. I'm their mother and, you know, I'm so proud of the young men that they've turned into without the racing. And I could burst with pride because they're so successful, both of them. But, of course, I have the worry that mothers have, you know, and I worry about the injuries and I worry about everything that mothers were could possibly think of worrying about.
And, but, things that,
yeah. And things that don't happen at all that, you know, that we make up in our heads that happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, oh, look, there's nothing but pride. I mean, you know, where they've come from and where they've got to. Like, my secret's out now, boys. I actually don't watch the race. They don't know this, but I can tell them now on Highland for the viewers, I actually can't watch the racing and I certainly can't watch the starts, but I'm always there at the checkered flag at the end, you know. Mm-hmm. But my support for them is just I'm their mother and I'm always with them. They never go racing without us. Since the year that we had to split up, I went motocrossing and Ivan went short circuiting. But I'm always there. I do all the management of it. I do all the bookings and entering the championships and doing all the things that they really couldn't be bothered doing. I clean the gear and get everything packed up that way. But bikes-wise, I'm very limited what I can do. Ivan's the engineering background, so we have Ivan and we have a couple of mechanics that you need that support when you go there.
Mm-hmm.
So while, you know, you might have a full sponsored ride with a bike, there's also a massive expense in the background that, you know, that you don't think about really, you know, like we've got all these things going on in the background that we have to provide.
Mm-hmm.
That myself and Ivan can't do ourselves. But so we're very thankful for the people that do that with us and help us. But I'm just the mother at the end of the day, you know, and as I said, I'm limited, but I've got a great team around me.
Mm-hmm.
That while I'm hiding in the camper and somebody else is watching them, and I have my fingers and my ears just in case I might hear the commentary before the race is over, but I'm always there at the checkered flag.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an important thing as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. Financially, how can you keep two people on the road at that level and so many races, you know, in so many places?
Yeah. You know, I talk to other mothers in the paddock and every mother has the same worry. And but for most mummies in the paddocks, they only have one person to watch. But for me, I've got two sons racing at a very high level that have been had huge successes that they're actually too modest to say. Financially, it's nearly at the stage now, it's getting impossible. I work very hard and Ivan works very hard and everything that we have goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly we couldn't do it without good people around us. Like we've got James Gallagher in Oasis Bar in Letterkenny and he's been probably behind Keelan since Keelan was two down on the beach in Downings, rallying up and down the sand dunes, and we couldn't do it without him. And then we've got a new one now, Wesley Regan. Wesley actually mechanics for us as well as financial support. So without those two people, no matter what talent you have, it wouldn't just be possible. And then we've got James Gibbons that gave us some help this year, James Gibbons Electrics. We've all the people that give us small bits of support, but without the two main ones, you know, it just isn't possible because we've got the flights, we've got the boats, we've got the diesel to put the camper to Dublin, the diesel to get to Caldwell Park. It's all them small things. It's not the big things. Like you get handed a bike and you still wouldn't be able to afford to ride it or contest a championship, you know.
And you probably need bikes at home as well to be able to practice.
Yeah, definitely. And that's going to be the thing for Isna next year is however they manage it is to get him a
practice bike of some sort, because obviously he's kind of at a break point in his career. You know, he's, you know, it's going to be...
Yeah, I don't think it's possible that you just arrive at the track and you say, right, okay, I'm riding this bike today. You need to do the practice on that bike in advance.
Yeah, that is sort of a big thing for us, especially like coming from Ireland, there isn't a lot of short circuit racing or even tracks running like as you would have in Spain and even the UK and that. So I think that is one sort of thing that we do suffer from here, because in Ireland, that's... bike racing is a bit of a minority sport, and Gaelic football and rallying and everything takes over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really is it hard for us to try and go and compete with the guys that are competing over in Spain and racing in Spain and just trying to compete with that there, because you know, you just sort of have to do with the best of what you have.
That's right. Where's it all going towards? What is the top level that you would like to achieve?
Well, the top level for anyone trying to race motorbikes is going to Grand Prix and racing MotoGP.
So if you were in Formula 1, it would be the equivalent?
Yeah, Formula 1 and MotoGP is the more the equivalent for each of them.
Four wheels and two wheels.
Yeah, four wheels and two wheels. So I think that at the minute I already have a massive step in that direction, me going and racing that a few of them races next year through the Talent Cups. I think it is, I'm starting to make a step forward. It's just hopefully now I can get as much support and maybe hopefully try and not have to remortgage the house many times before we get there.
Many times can you remortgage the house?
I think we've done it too many times now.
Not the way it is, building on bits and remortgage and whatever. But can you make money? I know that's not what it's all about, but you know, can you become very, very famous and rich if you reach the top?
Yeah, at the top of motorbike racing, like the possibilities are endless. Like everyone knows who like Formula One world champions are, and everyone knows who Valentino Rossi is. And Conor McGregor has only been in UFC a few years, and everyone knows who he is.
Yep.
I think the top of every sport there is obviously lots of money, but I think in motorbike racing especially, it takes so much to get there.
Yeah, well, it does in virtually all of the sports. How do you combine this motor racing with your educational achievements along the way?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy, especially there was actually one time this year where I was racing in England on the one Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the following weekend Rhys was racing. And obviously it was during my dad took 2 weeks off work for it, and what we done was we stayed in England and basically lived from service station to service station, and we like for the Tuesday, Wednesday, because you can't get into the circuits until a Thursday evening. So we like got up on a Monday, drove, like we were 300 miles away. So we drove like 100 miles every day, stopped, found a swimming pool, went for a swim, then went out for food and just basically killed a day. And that's kind of one of the stuff that puts us at a disadvantage, you know, is because we do that because it's the most kind of logical thing to do. But then in a way, it kind of probably left Paris a bit tired going to the race, you know, but... No, and that's kind of, to be fair, with school and stuff, I'm obviously past that stage now, but
You're at the Letterkenny Institute of Technology?
Yeah, I'm in the IT, but when I was in Loretto and Milford, they were always more than helpful to me, and, well, you know, very grateful for that. You know, they never give me too much of a hard time.
You know? Well, they probably encourage you and help you with your homework and so on, or...
Oh, yeah, massively. Like, they always left notes and stuff for me, and... whether I went looking for them, they were always there or not, you know, but that's probably one of the easier parts of it, you know, juggling the school, I always think, because it's, they made it so easy, you know, it wasn't like I lost any sleep about it, because it was so easy, you know.
Rhys, what about you? When are you going to do the leaving, or can you put it back a year, or do it over 2 years, or thinking in terms of those things?
At the minute, I'm just after doing my journey for last year. And thank God I got on all right with it, so now he's still letting me race. But now I'm in TY this year, which is probably a good year to be going on to the world level, because it'll be sort of an easier, there's not as much work in it. But now I'm leaving cert then in 2 years after that, and I don't know, I could be world champion or I could be back racing but not racing and trying to do good and get a job. Now hopefully it never has to go.
Well, hopefully you'll get follow your dream and hopefully it'll work out for you.
Aye,
that's important. And tell me, in relation to what I want to say there now, well, I'll go back to sponsorship. Let's go back to Louise and ask the question in relation to sponsorship. Would people, if they did sponsor these two gentlemen, would they gain out of it? Would you know, is there a window there for them to get exposure?
There is this huge opportunity to sponsors this year because of where the boys are going to be racing. It's going to be international coverage. Now, we have a very large race lorry, and anybody that helps us, they can use the race lorry and the motorbikes for advertising their logos. So this year, more than any, and the boys are in quite a unique position in that, because all the rounds, there's going to be huge interest in the Talent Cup, the British Isles Talent Cup, because it was the best from four countries that got chosen for that, so there's huge interest in that. And then in the British Championship that Keelan's going to be racing in, it's all televised. So, and we have a fine big truck that sits outside the house, so every time it drives around, there's plenty of advertising space on it, and the bikes being on international media. No, there's good, like the sponsors do get good coverage, yeah.